Hallelujah. You may be seated. Just going to share something with you for a few. And then some of you are going to get another opportunity to put a period next to it. And everybody say, if you don't start something, there won't be nothing. Tell it to your neighbor. I mean, it's okay to get all up in the neighborhood, say, don't start something, ain't gonna be nothing. Your praise will always start something. Okay. Your praise will always start something. Right. What we have to learn how to do is to continue praising through it so we'll get something. Okay. You can't start out and then stop because things aren't looking the way you think they should look. You got to start it and keep going all the way through it. And you have to take every opportunity to start it, because there can be a lot of its, and whenever it presents the opportunity, you got to start it, and you got to finish it without giving up. Without giving up, I don't know if I'm going to use these notes, but we need to understand that whatever God said, whatever He's done, whatever He's promised, we are never going to realize it if we don't start something based on what He said. He could speak from now until when Jesus come back, which He is. But if we don't start something based on what He has said, there won't be nothing. I'm not going to be up here long. I'm not. When I started listening to the words God was speaking, He was telling me, He said, see, you don't have to go through all of the notes. I'm like, that's fine with me. That's fine with me. So I'm going to move to the end. Okay? I'm going to move right down to the end so you'll see this. See, God doesn't need, I was going to work it all out. I downloaded a new timer because I don't always look up at that one. And I said, no, we're going to stick to this time, but God had a better plan. Amen. Had a better plan. Turn to Ezekiel, please. Ezekiel 37. So you have to understand, as I was going through these, and God was putting this together, and when He told me, Ezekiel, I'm trying to figure out, God, why are you using that one? But I've learned that He's so much smarter than me. So I just, and I tell myself, I said, well, hey, see, the recording device never questions what's being placed in it. All it does is, and then when the button is pushed, it replays it, and it doesn't get upset if the owner fast forwards it to a particular point. Well, that's what God's doing this morning. He's fast forwarding things. And Ezekiel 37 is out of the Amplified Bible. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And He caused me to pass around about among them, and behold, they were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. How many times something's going on, God will ask you a question, and you don't want to answer. You say, oh, You know, God. Again, He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. Okay. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live. And you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise. And behold, a shaking and trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered over them, but there was no breath or spirit in them. Folks, this is very important. And it made me get excited, because as soon as I read that, I knew where he was going. What were God's instructions in verse 4? Prophesy to the dry bones. And what did he tell them? That was the first thing he said. Bones, hear the word of the Lord. And what was the word of the Lord? He will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh and cover you with skin, and you'll understand and you'll realize I am the Lord. So when God tells you to do that, what's your expectation? That it's going to be done. And you get excited about it. You dance around about it. We shout and we scream about it. And then we go and do it. So we prophesy, verse 7, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise. And behold, the shaking and trembling and rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked down, and behold, there was sinew upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered over them, but there was no breath, no spirit, no life. Folks, that's a critical moment in your faith. What are you going to do now? Lord, I've done what you told me to do, and there's no life. What are you going to do when that happens? Every one of us is going to go through a time when we hear God and we do exactly what he says, and we don't see the full manifestation. And we get discouraged, and we stop. We start thinking, maybe, I misheard. I don't know. We got the bones covered. God, they came together just like you said, but they're not living. Listen to this. I thought you said they were going to live. What do you mean you thought he said? He did say it. But we didn't see the immediate life right after everything else unfolded, and we allow discouragement to come in. We have to realize something. Look at Ephesians 6. We know this. The King James begins it by saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's good. That sounds real good. But listen to what this other translation says, the Phillips translation. It says, in conclusion, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord. Now listen to this. And in the power of his boundless resources. Yes. Yes, that loud amen goes there. He says, be strong, not in yourselves, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his boundless resources. Just that lets us know, if we don't see the manifestation, don't get upset. That just means there's something else that God's going to give you. You got to allow time for him to reach into his bag of resources and pull it out. That's all that means. All right. Put on God's complete armor. Say complete. And tell your neighbor, in case you don't know what that means everything. Okay. Put on God's complete armor so you can successfully resist all of the devil's methods of attack. All of them. See, we keep looking for them to come this way. And we're ready. We forgot we got this whole, our whole flank and everything else exposed. If he comes this way, he's a dead duck. But if he comes some other way, you in a lot of trouble. Why? I didn't expect that would happen. This says, so you put on the complete armor so you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. Why? Our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual. Stop getting mad at the employers and the lawmakers and, you know, the law enforcement people and all those. Stop getting mad at them. They are not the enemy. It's spiritual. Stop getting upset when you hear things said by people of other race. It's not them. It's spiritual. It's just another method of attack. And the you're probably wondering, why is all this coming out right now in the world? Because it's working for the devil. That's why. He's getting believers to focus on race and not his word. All it is another method of attack. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power. And even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. See, being at a standstill and standing your ground doesn't mean you're inactive. It means you're saying, keep coming. I'm not stepping back a millimeter. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. Keep messing with me, and you're going to see fire, fire, fire. Take your stand then with truth as your belt, righteousness your breastplate, the gospel of peace firmly on your feet. Why? So you can walk in love. If you don't have the gospel of peace firmly on your feet, you will walk out of love. You'll get in a roar over anything that happens. Who do they think they are making those kind of comments? Who cares? What does it have to do with kingdom business? I'll tell you what it has to do. It's given you an assignment. It has presented another opportunity for the supernatural, boundless, unlimited power of God to come into manifestation. Say, why isn't it happening? He's waiting for somebody to do something. That's why. I know the word is something, but something sounds better. Okay. I know you can put your fingers in your ears, honey. Oh, salvation is your helmet. And in your hand, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Stop walking around with your sword still in its sheath. It's not dangerous when it's in the sheath. It's only dangerous when it comes out and is in your hands. That's when it becomes dangerous. See, if I were to be in a skirmish and I allow myself to get in the flesh, my hand by itself is a weapon. But when it turns into a fist and raises up, and my whole body gets in position to deliver, it becomes extremely dangerous. But just like this, it's our hands, like this, are just hands. But as they come like this, they become dangerous weapons. Because we're submitting ourselves to the boundless resources of our Father. Above all, be sure to take faith as your shield, for it can quench every burning missile the enemy hurls at you. And I like this translation that says missile. Because, see, we're ready for a dart. Okay, yeah, it's a dart. But when you see an ICBM coming at you, that's a little different. But if you have yourself completely covered by your shield of faith, it doesn't matter. It could be a nuclear weapon. It will not affect you. The person right next to you can drop dead. It will not affect you. Your faith is in place, praying at all times with every kind of spiritual prayer. By spiritual prayer, it's not God kill them. How dare they touch one of your anointed? No, Jesus didn't come so that all men could be killed. He came so that all men could be saved. And after they were saved, they come into the knowledge of the truth. So you want your faith to be as strong in the Lord and in the power of his boundless resources as it can be, because you know if he started something, he's going to complete it. Say, well, how do I know that? He said so. He that has begun a good work in you shall complete it. But now listen to what he didn't say. He didn't give you a specific time frame. He said, until the day of Jesus Christ. And I don't hear, don't go, you know better than go ask him, well, when's Jesus coming? He said, none of your business. You keep doing what I tell you. And next thing you know, he'll be there. Okay? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and trembling and rattling, and bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath or spirit in them. See, sometimes there's additional information that we won't get until we reach a certain plateau. God will tell us what we need to get to one particular point, and then when we get there, he'll give us some different instructions or some additional instructions. We can't get upset. There may be some prerequisites that we're not aware of that he didn't tell us. Say, why didn't he tell us? You didn't need to know it. All you needed to know was this is what you have to do right now. So you prophesy as you were commanded, and you speak, and you watch the shaking and the rattling, and you look and you see there's still no breath, no spirit. It doesn't mean you missed it. It doesn't mean your faith left. There are other factors that may have to be put in place. All you have is what God told you at that moment. And you did it. You prophesied. They came together. You looked. There was no breath. Well, sometimes God allows a delay. Listen, I'm going to read this the way he gave it to me. Sometimes God will allow a delay because he's giving us an opportunity to prove us to us. He's giving us an opportunity to prove us to us. See, we have to know that we can trust him. And that comes through adversity. And he has to allow that to happen. So stop getting upset when it doesn't seem to be going the way God told you. He's given you an opportunity to prove to you that you really do trust him. That's why he said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. God didn't have to test him to see what he was going to do. God knew exactly what he was going to do. He needed Abraham to know that he had that kind of trust in God. And God needs us to know the same thing. So he'll tell you something, and you'll go and do it, and you won't see the results right away. Are you going to stop? The answer, really, if we're going to be honest, the answer is no more. I used to stop. I'd start looking at circumstances. I start thinking maybe I missed it. Man, I'm glad this hospital's here. The doctor was right. No, God was right. The doctor was operating in facts. God operates in truth. And I didn't have my loins properly girded about with truth. So I got excited with a little manifestation, but then when nothing happened, I panicked. I looked, and I saw the sinews on the bone in the flesh, but I didn't see spirit. But see, but because I waited patiently, because I learned some things, because I've done everything God has told me to do up to that point, I operate in his truth. I know that I'm righteous. I'm saved. I have peace, and I'm completely covered in faith. So while I was patiently waiting, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and spirit came into the bones, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great host. Why? He didn't quit. He didn't quit. He just did what God told him to do. God gave him a command, he started it, and he stuck with it, and it was finished. Who cares if it's not in our time? God told us. We were not asking him. We were perfectly content with staying right where we are. Continuing to believe the people to come in. God is the one that said, I'm giving you the mall, starting with the Sears building. We didn't ask for it. It's the same God that told Pastor Sarah, drive around this building and speak to it. Tell it will not function as anything except the new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. She didn't ask God to give her that assignment. But God said, this building is going to be used for my purposes and my purposes alone. And Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton bought into that. And it didn't matter that RKO brought it. Bought it. Whatever the right word is. They took it off the market. Okay. It doesn't matter. Because God said it will only function as the new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. See, so the praise didn't die down when RKO Corporation signed on the dotted line. No, the prayers went up. The obedience kicked in. And they stuck with it. No matter what happened. That's why we're all in here today. They stuck with it. It appeared that the dry bone, everything came together except that last little piece. God told us, upgrade sound system. Bring things in currently because the folks that you're going to attract are part of this electronic generation. And they're not going to receive it the same way that it was said before. So we did what he said. What happened? Truck broke down. And these trusses that were supposed to be here at a certain time didn't come. They had to go and get them. They didn't grumble because they were here till about, what was it, Dan? 2, 3 a.m. one morning? What was it?
2 Friday, 12 last night.
And that 2 Friday was not 2 p.m. Okay? That was actually, it was 2 a.m. Saturday morning.
And it was my day off.
And by the way, it was his day off. But he had a word from God. That he belonged here to be part because his expertise was needed. Doesn't matter that they got everything up, great back projector that's installed there. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I understand the picture and everything. It's just, it's like theater quality. But the manufacturer specced the wrong lens. Doesn't matter. God didn't say get excited and get it done unless the manufacturer specs the wrong lens. So we just believe God that it'll be here on Tuesday early. So everything will be in place for Wednesday. Which, and by the way, I believe we told some, I might as well let you know now, we received a call from Eddie James Ministries. Their bus broke down on the road. The bus broke down. They had to rent cars and send their band and their singers back to Georgia. And then Eddie James and his dancers and ministry team are traveling now. They squeezed everything into a 12-passenger van to complete the rest of their schedule for May. And they're in different places every night. They were in Tarrytown. They went from South Carolina to Tarrytown, to Delaware, to somewhere up in Connecticut, to somewhere else, and then they're going to wind up here on Wednesday. We didn't go, oh, man. We're like, hey, God said bring Eddie James in. God is the one that opened up the schedule for him to come. God is the one that did it. He didn't tell us, don't, you know, just stop your confession, stop believing because his dancers won't be here. God knew all this was going to happen when he had the booking agent call us to tell us this date was available. Why am I telling you? I'm telling you this, folks, so you understand that no matter what happens, if you don't start something based on what God said, there won't be nothing. There's some of you when I said, get up and walk around. You got up and you walked around. And everybody didn't get it because we're too busy focusing. I used to do the same thing. If there was a pain in my arm or something, I'm getting around, I'm thinking about the pain. I should be thinking about the praise. And when I got to the point where I started thinking about the praise, guess what I noticed? There was no more pain. So when stuff comes, and it will, don't you bow, don't you bend, don't give up, no, don't give in. What else does he say? Hold on, just be strong. God will come through, and it won't be long. It won't be long. He said, but I've been waiting 3 years. That's not a long time compared to eternity. You know what? When you start thinking about time, Be thankful that God's not holding us accountable for his time frame. Because he said, I'll do it in a day. You got to wait 1,000 years. I need you to just stand. I'm done. Need you to just stand. And I'm going to ask you to do something. But first, before I ask you, I want you to take a trip. You close your eyes and take a trip down memory lane. I want you to look at where you are right now. Doesn't matter if you don't have everything that your heart's desire. You may, but doesn't matter if you don't. Just look at where you are now. I'm going to compare it to where you were before you received Christ. And start thinking about everything that God did to get you from that point to this moment. And give him the appropriate praise. Come on, give it to him. You know what he pulled you from. You know it. You know it. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know what God has done for them? Okay. Now, you're at this moment, and you know what God said he was going to do for you. You know where God said that he was sending you, where he was taking you, what he was going to provide for you. And it doesn't matter that you don't have it yet. I want you to think about what he said and put it next to what he has already done and give him the appropriate praise. Yes! Yes! See, you know, whatever those dry bones were, they're going to live! They're going to have breath! They're going to have flesh! They're going to have something! Your body will obey the word of the Lord because he said so and because you believe it.